The Business Bunker.
Welcome to The Business Bunker Show on kentbusinessradio.co.uk and channelradio.co.uk on this Tuesday, December, and then whatever it is. What is it? 13th. Unlucky for some.
No, December that's Friday, the 13th. Isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
It's okay on a Tuesday.
Right. Oh, we're safe then. Pew. So, welcome to The Business Bunker Show. It's an absolute pleasure to spend a couple of hours with you. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and my lovely co-host today is the famous Joe Dodds.
Doesn't work quite so well when you put that pause in. when you're trying to think of an appropriate word.
Hold on. That was for dramatic effect. And I expected you to go cha-ching.
Yes, okay. Cool. Hello. Lovely. Hello. You all right?
Yeah, I'm fine. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. Thank you.
How's your painting?
My painting's going well, yeah, with my beige.
Beige.
It's not. It's natural wicker, as beige. I said in the pre-show show.
She's got a beige living room, listener.
It's not a pre-show show.
Now this is it. This is the
natural
real
wicker.
This is the real thing.
Yes, exactly. So no, it's good. It's good, and we get off floor tomorrow, so that's good. We have just about hit the deadline. Sorry. Although we've got to fit two sofas in my office by tomorrow morning.
Okay.
Not quite sure how that's going to work.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm being distracted. Mike, the technician, is sending me messages saying you started late, and it's got nothing to do with the fact that he took the clock away remotely to adjust it because it was 10 seconds wrong and I couldn't see it. No, it's my fault for being late.
Does that mean that we're not playing live, really, and no one can hear us?
He's probably switched us off now as you know, as retribution for being late. Anyway,
so you're okay?
I'm fine, thanks.
Good.
Yeah, I'm okay. Yeah,
good.
Looking forward to our Christmas lunch later this week.
Lovely.
With you.
Our Christmas lunch. I thought you meant one for the station or something that I'm not going to.
No, the
I'm
one not. For the station's next
yes.
week.
Our Christmas lunch, yes.
This will be my third That's Christmas right. lunch this week, or Christmas dinner
so
this
week.
So the
diet's going well then.
Well, I had we had the Fruitworks one last night, and I had to buy 50 pizzas, yeah? And they delivered them, and I paid for them, and they delivered all these pizzas, and I had to stand there for 3 hours without eating any of it.
Why?
Because I'm on a diet and I wasn't going to eat pizza.
Oh, right.
And,
okay.
And nobody thought to order me a side salad.
Well, when we have the discussion about the next create and I ask for a gluten-free pizza, do bear that in mind.
We had one last night.
I'm used to being the one who has nothing to eat.
We had a vegan, a gluten-free, and a vegetarian one.
Very good.
Do you know what? Even I caught the vegetarians not eating the vegetarian ones.
I quite often have the vegetarian ones just because I think they're really nice to eat lots of veggie things on there. Do you know, Ellie was doing some homework the other day and it said, it just reminded me, it said something like, I can't remember if it's to do with science or something. It says, we're like, write a meal plan or something for somebody with, and it was like, gluten-free, diabetes, something else. Oh, no, I know what it was. It was a guide badge. It was to write a meal plan for somebody with diabetes or gluten-free. So her and Simon laughed a lot about the fact that she was just going to put gluten slop down, which is what she calls the food that I cook.
She's impressed then.
She's just 10 and moans about everything, really.
Right.
She passed her piano exam this week.
Did she? What grade?
Well, it was grade one. She did initial last year and got a distinction. She did grade one this last week. And on Saturday, her piano teacher said to me, I don't think we should put her in for it. And I said, well, I agree, she's done no work and she's not very good, but I also don't agree that we shouldn't put her in. I think she needs to go and fail so she learns a lesson. But blow me, she did 3 days of intense practice and got a merit.
Really?
So I'm now really torn between trying to go, wow, well done, that was really good, great effort for 3 days, but don't do that next time.
My eldest, he sat his classical guitar, grade six, and passed with a merit. And the instructor went, I'm not actually convinced, though, that he can read music. And we go, he's grade six. And he went, yeah. And he passed really well. But I'm just not I think he's playing by ear. Mm. So I said to him, can you read music? He went, nah.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. The one thing on the music knowledge that Ellie got wrong was you have to say, they like point at a note and you have to say what note it is. Mm. And the note was B flat, but she said it was A sharp, which for those of you who know music, that's the same note. But what she, I think, did is she looked at it on the bit of paper, then looked at the piano key, knew which key it was, and looked and thought, oh, that's an A sharp, and said A sharp. So she didn't read the music either. She just knew from the piano what it was, but it was the wrong answer.
Kitter.
But there we go. Anyway.
Yeah, anyway, we've got a packed show for you today, and we've got loads of interesting guests to talk to. And, of course, as always, we'd like to hear from you, the listeners out there in business land. And you can get in touch with us in all the normal ways. You can call us. Anyone except Mikey T can call us on 01233.
And Bert's here, so yeah. She can't call us. Oh, but that didn't stop her last time, did it?
No, it didn't. You can call us on 01233 220035. That's Ashford, 01233 220035, or you can email me at bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. But by far and away, the easiest way to get hold of us live on air and to interact with us is to tweet me at VanillaWeb, and please use the hashtag BeBunker. We have already had 9,873,146,002 tweets.
You can see why he gets nothing done on a Tuesday morning, can't you?
And I'll tell you what, Joe.
What?
Why don't you read something?
I was going to say, I can't read a tweet. I haven't even got my thing open yet. That was a bit remiss of me, wasn't it? Right, I'm going to read this, though. The Kent Creative Awards in association.
Oh, yeah, they're back.
By the way, I'm glad you wrote a little T at the beginning for me where it didn't print properly.
It's where
so that I didn't read
it's where
he,
I cut and pasted it, but I didn't start at the right place.
So thank you for that, you know, less than modern technology version. The Kent Creative Awards in association with Ashford School have been generating interest across Kent from creative professionals. The high level of participation during the first event, the quality of the submitted work and the positive impact it had on those involved convinced the organisers at Kent Creative to repeat the experience this year. I think they really mean next year. Mm-hmm. The next Kent Creative Awards ceremony will take place on the 19th of May 2017. The submissions are now open and can be made from the Kent Creative website. The deadline for submissions is the 24th of January 2017. And you can go to kentcreativearts.co.uk/kent-creative-awards.
Fantastic.
That was
thank
a really
you.
Good URL, by the way. Thank you, Kent Creative. Mm. You can come again.
Absolutely. We've had a tweet from Athel Bray Limited. That's A-T-H-E-L-B-R-A-E.
No, it's not Athel. It's Athel. They said on Twitter, I got it right last time. It's Athel Bray.
They don't know they're Saxon then. What is it?
Athel Bray.
Next you'll be telling me it's Amanda Flanders.
Yeah, well, I saw that as well and thought, I can't believe you lot.
Mole Som, as we've renamed her. Eh? What, go on, so put me right
Athel
again.
Bray.
Athel Bray. Athel Bray Limited. How do you spell it, Joe?
It's A-T-H-E-L-B-R-A-E, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
LTD, that's their Twitter handle. and they say, can we have a shout-out, please, Vanilla Web? Huge thanks to all our fantastic trainers and coaches for their work during 2016. We couldn't do it without them. So that's a nice tweet to start off with, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. So what happened last week?
What happened last week?
Have a great show today, maybe a little more sedate than last week.
Oh, it was a car crash, wasn't it, Bird? It was a car crash last week.
I did watch a bit of it, didn't I?
Huh?
I did watch a bit of it. Yeah. I was watching your pre-show
it
show.
It was
and
so out
of
order. Well, it's one we're going to forget about, I think. Yeah.
Okay.
Do you know what? We got more listens to that show than any other show. Everybody kept tweeting it to each other, going, you've got to listen to this. It's mad.
Yeah. I have to go back and listen.
And again, I don't want to listen to a business show. And they went, no, there was no business in it at all. It's just five people in the studio shouting at each other. It was great.
You had Fiona on, didn't you?
We did.
You didn't have any HR debates, did you?
Did we? I don't think we talked
Actually,
I don't think we talked a lot about business at all, really, did we?
No. Fiona and I had a meeting yesterday, although it was a bit rubbish that I was supposed to meet her at a coffee shop in town, and I completely forgot. And the coffee shop was shut as well. And the coffee shop was shut. Which...
Hold on. Let's explore this. So, Joe, the great process merchant, the one that is so organised and did a whole Joe's Gems on how to organise your diary.
No.
Forgot an appointment.
Oh, no, no. You see, you don't listen to me. I didn't do one on how to organise your diary. I did it on how to not procrastinate. That was what we were discussing. What happened yesterday was I never arrange meetings on a Monday, and I never arrange anything in the morning either. And so I broke my two cardinal rules because I was so keen to meet up with Fiona and arranged it last week and then didn't actually check my diary because I never do anything in the morning, so I don't need to check my diary until she phoned me at 22:11 and said the coffee shop shut, at which point I thought, oh, my God, I'm not even there. And, so she came to my house instead. So she said she had a lovely time on the radio show, thank you.
Did she?
She did, yes.
Did she?
Yes, and she's listening now. So hello, Fiona. I've just admitted to the world that I forgot our meeting. But it was all because my process fell down, obviously. Oh dear, but there you go.
I'm saying nothing, but that's all I'm going to say on the matter.
We were talking procrastination.
Okay.
Anyway, right, let's try to read something else out.
I'm going to read another tweet while you're getting an email ready. We had a tweet from Chris Taylor, and let me find his email address. It's Chris Taylor, T-A-Y-L-O-R, C-O-M-P, Chris Taylor Computing. Please send a shout out from Chris Taylor Computer Services. We can fix all your computer problems. Thank you, Business Bunker. So do give Chris a follow on their Twitter.
Cool.
Wait, on PayPlan. PayPlan on the Twitter, Vanilla Web, please can you give a shout out to our campaign on the risk to mental health at Christmas? They've given me a link which isn't easy to see, so I suggest the best thing to do is to follow them on the Twitter and find the link that they've given. And their Twitter handle is PayPlan, PayPlan.
Because there's all those things going around on Facebook, isn't it, saying share with your friends this number for the hotline, all this sort of stuff. But somebody somewhere, I can't remember, I read, had phoned one of the numbers and it was some premium sales line or something. It wasn't at all what it's whatever the word is, something to be premium pretending to be or whatever. Yeah, and so I thought interesting because it's really doing the rounds, isn't it? But it is a time for people to be sad at times, isn't it?
It is. Read an email.
Got such good people skills, isn't he? Right, it's time to make a nomination for the 2017 Kent Women in Business Awards. Now in its fifth year, these awards have become an exciting event on the business calendar here in Kent. Your nominee will be contacted within 7 working days to be informed of their nomination, and the celebration will take place on the 3rd of March 2017 at the Great Danes Hotel near Maidstone. And we have another very good URL, which is KWIB Awards, Kent Women in Business Awards, .co.uk/nominations. And there is a / on the end, but I don't think you need that.
Cool. I just want to, she didn't ask for a shout out. She's been helping everybody else ask for a shout out, which is lovely. So I'm going to give her a shout out. I'm just going to shout
Denise?
Out for
no?
Denise. Yeah. the Milan Focus. Do give the Milan Focus a follow on. Denise is a fabulous supporter of the Business Bunker radio show, and she's also a genius at marketing. So do give her a follow. And thank you, Denise, for pointing loads of people for shout-out purposes at the radio station.
I'm just looking at my tweets. Oh, sorry. Go on.
No, you do yours next, but Fiona's been on now.
Has she?
Yeah, HR Services. Hi, Vanilla Web. Please can I have a shout-out on the Business Bunker show? She's been very sedate. She's been very businesslike. She isn't mentioning last week's fiasco at all.
Well, she can't be listening either because we've already given her a shout-out, haven't we?
Yeah. She says, I do strategic HR and organisational development. And she said, I don't know if you know this, but I have an MBA as well. Mm. We did discuss how she acquired that last week, did we not? Yeah.
Okay. I was reading my tweets and I was going to say that Audrey says she's on her way, but she's actually here.
Yeah.
And Fiona wants to know if Bird's doing a pre-show show. We've done that, Fiona. I should have replied earlier. That was 22 minutes ago. Right. What now?
You can do one more email.
Can I? Right. So I got sent this on Monday and it's a bit complicated, but it looked quite interesting. But it's urgent because it's on the 15th and 16th. So it's an innovation games course. So it's at the Canterbury Innovation Centre, and Jose Casal and JP Bailey will be facilitating a certified innovation games collaboration frameworks for product discovery class. It does sound complicated, doesn't it? It focuses on several carefully selected in-person and online frameworks that have been proven to help people involved in client engagement and product discovery succeed. It's a popular course with product owners, business analysts, user researchers, sales, marketing, UX designers and similar roles. So it's 2 days. And it's a practice run, a second practice run. They had one in London a few weeks ago. So they're providing it at cost. So it's just a registration fee of £150 plus VAT to cover the costs of the materials. And so, yes, you can go to https://innovation_games_canterbury.eventbrite.co.uk. I think the easiest thing is go to Eventbrite and do a search for Innovation Games Canterbury, and that will come up. But that's this week, later this week. Sounds interesting, doesn't it? It sounds very sort of technical and techie and good for Kent type stuff.
Geeky.
I met Jose actually at the British Computer Society a number of years ago when I was presenting with Andy Harris, and we were on a Mac, and
Andy
neither of us
Harris.
Knew how to use a Mac. So we were really struggling to do our demo because we had to demo something and we didn't know how to use it. It was rubbish.
Wow. I haven't spoken to Andy for ages.
No, I haven't either. A year or so ago I did. But yeah, so we were trying to present something using a computer that we couldn't use to a load of computer boffin type people. It was rather embarrassing.
I'm not going to say anything about that because I've already picked on Joe enough today. So I'm going to just
let
that
one. We make a note of that. Bird, take a note.
I'm going to let that one go in my head, but I am going to store it for later use, early in 2017, quite possibly. Lisa's eating mince pies. Lisa's eating mince pies.
There's a joke about that, isn't there? Something about what creeps round.
My tummy's rumbling.
What creeps round something, mint spies, but I can't remember what the first bit is. It'd be funnier if I could remember the first bit, wouldn't it?
Jo's jokes are really brilliant. She remembers the punchline, but not the rest of the joke.
Not the rest of the joke, yeah. Somebody tweet in what the first bit of it is, but anyway.
While you're doing that, I'm going to read one more email, and then we're going to play some tunage.
Go on then. Is it Christmas tunage?
Yeah. No.
No, thought not.
Hi, Paul. Could you tell the lovely Business Bunker listener about the about this workshop, please? It's for all those employers and managers with perfect staff and a great team, as well as those whose staff are, well, less than perfect. Absence, misconduct and capability cost businesses thousands of pounds each year, and they have an impact on other staff within a team. Failing to deal with these issues is not uncommon, and sadly, dealing with these issues in the wrong way can have very serious consequences. This workshop will give managers the tools and skills to take back into the workplace. Delegates will learn about legal and practical solutions to staff absence, misconduct and capability. There will be case studies, workbooks, and plenty of opportunities to ask questions. As ever, Orchard Employment Law will deliver this training in a way that will keep the guests engaged. So if you are sick of staff being sick, scared to let staff go, or wanting to tool up just in case, this workshop will start at 9:30 a.m. and end at 3 p.m. on Tuesday, the 24th of January. And it's at the St. George's Hotel, which is in New Road, Chatham. And it's a great way to start the year, new year. And it is an absolute bargain at £149 per person, which includes a lunch. And that's from the lovely Orchard Employment Law, Gemma Fairclough-Hayes. And you can follow Gemma on the Twitter. And her Twitter handle is Gemma with a J, J-E-M-M-A, Fairhay, F-A-I-R-H-A-Y. Gemma Fairhay on the Twitter. Or you can email her for more details or to book your place, info@orchardemploymentlaw.co.uk.
Can I say my favourite line of that was, if you want to tool up in case you need to do something with it in future, or whatever it was, tool up. That was so cool.
Knowing Gemma as I do, that's not normally the kind of thing she would say either, really, is it? It's slightly incongruous. I think she was being avant-garde with that, is what I can say there. But she does know her stuff, and there's doubt about that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what we're going to do now?
You said
it's that cheesy tunage time, but this is really obscure cheesy tunage. In fact, it's a special request. So, what do you reckon?
Chumbawamba.
Chumbawamba. Tub thumping. I get knocked down.
Drink. He drinks a vodka drink. He drinks a lager drink. He drinks a cider drink. Rift Accounting. Safety in numbers. Riftaccounting.com.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Do you need supplies?
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker show on Kent Business Radio and Channel Radio on this the 13th of December, a Tuesday at 1:22 in the afternoon. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and my famous co-host, Joe Dodds. That was a track picked specially by Lisa, not me. So Chumbawamba, Tub Thumping. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome back onto the Business Bunker show Lisa Settle of Telcare Limited, the telecoms company from over there on the Midway City Estate. Yeah, absolutely. we specifically asked Lisa to come on this show because she's been up to something. She has been up to something big time, and we thought she ought to come in and explain it to us. So, Lisa, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for joining us. We'll explain why Tub Thumping in a minute. Mm-hmm. So, you have been on an epic journey.
Yes.
You've been on a few epic journeys over the last few years, you know, climbing mountains and all kinds of things, haven't
yes,
you?
Yes, there was that, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. This was a bit further yeah. afield.
See, some of us with midlife crises, we just buy sports cars, yeah? You go and do mad things, yeah?
Yeah,
two sports cars. Thank you, Bill. Yeah. So, Lisa, you recently embarked on an epic journey to raise money for a number of charities.
Yeah, three charities.
Yeah. So, I'll tell you what, it's easier if I let you explain what you did, why you did it, how you did it, and then you can talk about how your bottom recovered.
Okay. All right. So, well, I think a lot of people already know the reasons why we did it, but just for those that didn't, my friend Sally decided that 2016 was the year that we were no longer going to be on the school run, right. And she decided that we ought to do something.
Is that because you were just going to make the kids walk to school?
No, they'd all finish. So we thought, okay, let's do something. Let's go on an adventure. And I secretly thought that Sally had something planned, like volunteering in a Indian school or something. And I thought, yeah, I could do that. It's fine.
Or going to a spa or something.
Well, I thought it was a bit more than a spa. But anyway, she came up with this adventure and she said, we're going to be cycling. I was horrified at that point because I hadn't ridden a bike since 1973.
Right,
you know,
okay.
The old chopper.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
Oh, yeah. And that's only when she got to the word cycling. She hadn't finished the sentence.
She hadn't finished. I mean, I hadn't even, you know, my next thought was after I'd got over the cycling, my next thought was, how far? And she said, 450 kilometres. And I was like, oh, my God, I was gobsmacked. And then I thought, actually, Lisa, you don't know how far 450 kilometres is. So yeah. What's that in miles? And yeah. She said, 280 miles. What? And of course didn't even ask where. And then she just snuck in with the and it's Vietnam to Cambodia. So yeah, completely gobsmacked, but had to go with it and went with the flow.
Well, it could have been worse. It could have been like Manchester to London or something. I'm sure that wouldn't
have
been quite
so
exciting. It could have been worse, couldn't it?
Do you know what, Joe? It might have been
cooler. It could have been worse. You could have been cycling in Manchester.
Sorry, Manchester. Lovely place.
That's true, it was a bit hot.
So, Lisa, this first of all, I kind of deconstruct this and work it backwards, really.
Yeah.
But
okay.
I was interested, when I first saw this, the ride from Vietnam to Cambodia, is that a well-worked trail? Is it a known kind of thing?
It is, yeah. There are quite a few charities that are organised. In fact, I know someone who did it quite a few years ago. Mm. So it has been running for some time.
Okay. What I'm trying to get at, though, is that you kind of know where you're going. It's not...
Yes, yeah.
It's one of those wiggling along on a really, like, thin mountain track where you could, like, fall off. It wasn't that bad.
Although there were some scary moments, but it wasn't that bad.
It's
an organised event organised by Action for Charity.
Right. Okay.
And they organise women's events.
Right.
Similar, lots of bike rides. They've done cycling to India. They've done Tanzania. Quite a few.
Okay.
So outlandish
talk
rides.
Us through the logistics of this. So you set up your just giving page and you started to raise oodles of money.
Yeah, and then had sleepless nights because, you know, at 3 o'clock in the morning you think, oh my God, I've got to raise £3,000 to be accepted on the ride.
Okay. Is that before you start?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, you had a deadline. I think it was the first
privilege
of
it, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, privilege of getting a sore bum.
Yeah. Do you want to kill yourself in some foreign monsoon-infested place?
Yeah, that's
That'll
it.
Be £3,000, please.
That's yeah. it. Yeah. So
I'll give it a try.
That was rather daunting. And then, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning, you're lying there thinking, you've just signed up to cycle from Vietnam to Cambodia. That's huge. That's massive. Yeah. And you can't do it. So, you know,
Dave keep laughing at you?
Do you know David Settle did not sponsor me until I got back?
Really?
Yeah. So he probably thought, yeah, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
So, and when I got home, I said, husband, do you think you could sponsor me now? He said, oh, yeah, okay. Now he's worried. He said, what's next?
What's next?
Right, absolutely.
Yeah.
Gap year.
So I want to kind of work out the logistics of this as well, Lisa. So you got to your £3,000 or you had it.
We did. I mean, that I thought actually that's going to be really hard to do. But my first breakthrough was at the Kent Women in Business Awards. I'm one of the judges there. And
oh, you took bribes?
I did indeed. No.
Oh, sorry about that.
No, Hillary mentioned it at the Women in Business Awards just before we kicked off, and said if anyone wants to donate to Lisa, this is what she's doing. And put envelopes on the table. And at the end of the night, the envelopes were all brought together and they gave them to me. And it was all busy and Dave and I were staying there, so we took them up to the room and left it in the room. So sort of 1:30 in the morning, I decided to open up these envelopes to have a look. And I was completely gobsmacked. It was £555 in the envelope. So
brilliant.
It was amazing. So that was a really good start.
Yeah.
And then we went on. We did a networking breakfast. I did a cake auction, which was really well attended, and lots of people donated. I actually had 39 cakes turn up at my house.
Wow!
I had a marquee in the back garden, and we had it all out in the summer. And 39 cakes arrived. That you know, and really nice cakes as well.
Blimey.
Really, really nice cakes. Sally for cakes did a lovely cake with a bike on the top.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, Sally's
fabulous.
A good girl. Yeah.
And then we did a quiz night, and so eventually, the money was coming together. And
at the same time, were you actually practicing your bike riding?
Yes, yeah, we did do that. We
on
had various
chopper.
On my chopper. No, I actually brought the bike. I started off at the cycle park.
Can you stop saying that?
What?
On your chopper.
On your chopper.
I'm having to bite my tongue every time.
Right, no more mention of the chopper. Went to the cycle park and learnt to ride, basically, but was very scared to go leave the cycle park and go on the road. Yeah. I was frightened of cycling with the traffic, et cetera, et cetera. But eventually I managed to do that, and we went off and did sort of cycles around the country and really started to enjoy it then as well.
Cool.
So we had we volunteered ourselves for sort of various charity rides and always had a goal. So it wasn't the massive thing all of a sudden. We broke it down into bite-sized bits so that we could, you know, we could focus on that.
Okay, so the fateful day came and you set off.
And I
have to know, because I saw it on Facebook and you tweeted me and stuff, you landed at Hong Kong.
We went to Hong Kong just the three of us.
Bit of shopping.
Well, actually, not very much shopping. But we went there to get adjusted to the time difference.
Right.
We're all really, really busy women, and the three of us thought, you know what, if we just land and get on a bike, that's not very good preparation. So we decided to go to Hong Kong for 4 nights and chill. And we thought we might get some nice time by the pool, but it wasn't very warm at all.
Right, yeah.
So we went sightseeing, we did Kowloon, we did Hong Kong Island, we went to the races, we went to the Hong Kong Jockey Club, which was really good, and we met some fabulous people who actually donated when they found out what we were doing. They donated.
Brilliant.
And there was a lovely Australian couple who gave us $800.
Wow.
And turned around and said, I said, oh, that's fantastic. Can you give me your email address? I'd really like to let you know how we do. And they said, no, it's fine, but, you know, you've got this. You go and do it. Our daughter died of cervical cancer.
Wow.
And it was a really heartwarming moment and very sad. So he said, okay, what was your daughter's name? So we sort of thought of her as we were cycling on the tough days.
Right.
We were doing it for her.
So you arrived in Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
Presumably you didn't pack your bike in your overnight luggage.
No, I just took my saddle.
You took your saddle?
Took my saddle.
You got your own personalised saddle?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, took it off my bike and took it along.
Really?
Yeah.
So they provide the bike?
Yes.
And you provide the saddle?
Yeah. We had bikes in Vietnam and then we had new bikes in Cambodia.
Oh, really? And was that part of the organised thing?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
But they can't afford saddles, is that how it works?
No, they. In actual fact, their saddle was very much like mine. And
right.
I probably could have used it, but, you know, having cycled for 2 years on mine, I thought, you know what, I'm not going to risk anything.
Yeah.
Take that with me.
You can tell Paul doesn't do much cycling, can't you?
Yeah, I got that.
I didn't know that saddles came away. I really didn't. When I had a chopper, you couldn't take the saddle off it.
No, that's true. You couldn't on my Tomahawk either. Or on my sister's budgie.
That
was the whole
range.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. You can take that saddle.
Mine was blue.
Was it?
I had a purple Tomahawk. That was the smaller one. And my sister had an orange budgie, which was the even smaller one.
Oh, yeah. I remember the budgies.
There's a lot of corpsing going on around here.
I promise to behave, and I'm going to.
But we stopped that. We stopped that straight away.
Okay.
I'm
too frightened to comment.
Yeah, exactly. So, you've got, what, 250 miles to cycle?
Mm-hmm. And 280.
Sorry, 280. I didn't want to shortchange
you
there.
Every mile counts.
Yeah. Exactly.
And I'm not sure what the season was. It's not monsoon season or anything like that.
Well, this was the thing. In all the gubbins that were Action for Charity centres, they said be prepared for about 25 to 30 degrees.
Right.
And I set my phone to the weather in Ho Chi Minh City and Siem Reap. And they were right. It was about that this time last year. So we were going with that. Of course, when we got there, it was 38 degrees.
Wow. Jeez.
And it was...
Was it humid as well?
It didn't... In Vietnam, it didn't seem so humid. It was actually burning hot. But it did seem humid when we got to Cambodia. And I don't know if that was our bodies adjusting and just the way it felt.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But the very first day was... the first hour, actually, I cycled. And I felt the heat coming through my helmet. I felt dizzy. I felt sick.
That's just the first hour.
And I was cycling over a flyover, and there was traffic all around me. And I just thought, I feel as if I'm going to faint, but I can't because I might get run over.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just going to have to keep going. And, oh, my God, what on earth have you done?
It's really interesting you say that, because I think when you hear that people go and do these amazing feats, you sort of imagine that they get there and they just do it because they're so far down the line that there is no choice and off they go. And you sort of expect they're going to do it.
Yeah.
But to hear in the very first hour it was that hard just shows you how difficult it is to push through.
Absolutely.
And make it happen.
Well,
yeah.
I've got a number of questions I want to ask here of a logistical nature, as it were.
Now, you're determined, aren't you? You want to get the logistics.
Come on.
No, because first of all, I wanted to know what kind of road you're riding on. You know, I'm imagining a dirt track through the jungle. It could, for all I know, be an A road.
Some of his films he's been watching.
Yeah.
We were cycling through towns. Mm. We were cycling on the dirt track. Mm. There was a lot of roadworks going on, so there were some really gravelly moments, which were... I mean, there were loads of potholes, and the standard was that you cycle along, and when you saw a pothole, there was bound to be someone behind you. So you were you shout out, pothole, you know, overtaking, tuk-tuk, you know, all these sort of signs that we had to do.
Yeah,
and,
sure.
And
well, that's one of the reasons I ask. I mean, I've never been to Vietnam, but I was in Sri Lanka a few years ago, and it was just mad. Yeah. You know, you get a road that is no more than a dirt track, and there's six lanes of traffic. Yeah,
coming in all directions.
Yeah, and they just weave in and out, and then the elephants wander across the road and all kinds of stuff. It's just mad.
Yeah.
Was it similar to that in some
places?
It
was absolutely like that. I mean, Ho Chi Minh City is mad. We didn't cycle through Ho Chi Minh City. But some of the towns that we cycled through, and I did actually get knocked off, which is hence that song. I got knocked off and got back up again.
So thank you for that. That is why we played Chumbawamba.
Yes, absolutely.
I get knocked down, so I get back up again.
I actually...
And you were knocked down by what?
I was knocked down by one of our ladies. She lost her nerve. We were told... I mean, the good thing about it, yes, the traffic is completely mad, but there is no aggression whatsoever. It's completely passive. They, mm-hmm. That's just the way they are. Mm-hmm. They cycle all over the place. They know where they were going. Mm. and you know, and they'll avoid whatever comes in their way. Mm. So we were told just keep cycling, go where you've got to go, and they will avoid you. And funnily enough, I mean, I don't know why, but I was quite okay with that. And so I was happily cycling along, but a lady came towards us on a moped with her entire family on the moped, as they do.
12
yeah.
kids.
Yeah, absolutely. And the lady in front of me, who was part of our team, lost her nerve and swerved. And as she swerved, her back wheel took out my front wheel. Mm. So my bike went down.
Pile up.
And not me. And it landed on my ankle. The pedal landed on my ankle. Wow. And so...
How far into it were you at that stage?
That was the first day, Joe.
Oh, no. You had a terrible first day. So, and how many days did you do in total?
6 actual days cycling.
Oh, my goodness. So that's a big chunk of it
already. So it actually... I've just showed Bird the photo. It was a bit nasty. It was bruised and swollen ended up on antibiotics because it got infected. So
hence why we were talking before we came on, and you started when Paul was asking again about logistics. I don't know what it is with him and logistics. And you said,
I'm just fascinated by how it works. I've got another logistical question.
And your first response was, well, in the front we had a bus which had the medics in it. Yes. And I just at the time it just struck me as not an odd thing to say, but it brought me up that, you know, that was the first thing you said. And then you went on and said that your cases were in the back.
You
and
really
blah, blah, blah,
needed
blah.
The medics.
Now you've said that. It absolutely makes sense why you said that.
Certainly on the first 2 days, you know, you can imagine the amount of people that were suffering with the heat. Mm. Really,
well, I wanted to ask you about that. That was my next logistical question.
Go for it.
You've painted a picture of what it's like. You know, there's lots of traffic about. It's a hot day. The sun is beating down on your helmet. And that
sometimes there was no shade. You were right in the middle of it. And that was hard.
Now, normally when you do exercise, they tell you to take on board lots of water.
Yeah.
How do you do that in a country like Vietnam? Because you don't want to drink the water either, do you, really?
Well, it was very well organised. I had one of these water bottles on my bike with a lid, obviously, to protect from the dirt. And I had a Camelback on my back. So
did you have a Camelback?
Yeah. Mm. Camelback was plain water, which I was sipping as I went along. And this, my water bottle, had the electrolytes in there. Mm-hmm. And Dyrolite. I was using Dyrolite as well. And then we had water stops about every 10K. So we would have a water stop. Then we would have a snack stop. We'd have a water stop. It would be lunch. Then we, you know, and so on. And they had bottled water. And they came, and this was the best part, they came with a great big slab of ice.
All right.
So we were all snapping bits of ice off and putting it in our helmet and putting it in our... We had little scarves on, and we were wrapping ice in the scarves, so it would just drip down as we went along, which didn't last too long, but it was heaven when we did it.
Fantastic. Lisa, we're kind of fast running out of time.
Okay,
there's
sure.
lots of stories to tell us here, and there's a couple of other things I want to hear from you. So you did this epic journey. Did it chafe?
It did.
Oh, Paul.
It did.
What?
Okay.
I need to know.
Listen, I knew about the bottom thing was going to happen. So, okay. So for those of you, let's get down to the nitty gritty. There's the front bottom and then there's the back bottom. Yeah. Okay,
oh,
is that right?
Okay.
On the second day. On the second day, my front bottom was really hurting. Mm. And I thought, oh my God, this is only day 2.
Wow.
What on earth am I going to do? How am I going to get through 6 days of riding? Fortunately, that night, I heard a lady saying, do you know what? I had my saddle move forward and it's made the world of difference. And I thought, good point. I'll do that in the morning. So I got a mechanic. So can you just put my, like an inch forward? And he managed to get it forward and it did. It made the world of difference. Mm. So that was good.
Top tip.
And then it was top tip.
Top tip.
And then day 5, I think it was, I was really suffering with my coccyx, and that was just because of the sheer, you know, distance we were going. Mm-hmm. I was, fidgeting in my seat.
Yeah.
But, you know, we got there and it was done. And
how many days did it take to walk properly again afterwards?
Do you know what? No, it was fine. Yeah, honestly, fine. Yeah.
You know, you had done this right, though, hadn't you? You'd spent a lot of time bicycle riding around
the
UK.
Yeah, we had trained.
Training and getting up to speed and all the rest of it. Absolutely.
Yeah. And they make sure that you train. They put on, the charity put on a proper training weekend in the Cotswolds. where you cycle sort of 85 miles. And, well, you know.
And did they have like random motorcyclists coming towards you and things
no,
like that?
No, no, they didn't throw those at us.
Yeah, suddenly jump out at you with an elephant. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Lisa, we can talk about this forever. Sadly, we've run out of time.
Can I say a little bit before we run?
Yeah, cool, go for it.
There's huge thanks to so many people that supported me. And it wasn't just the donations. It wasn't just about the Just Giving page. There were a lot of people that supported us on our NAM to CAM page. Lots of people who just sent little messages. One night I woke up at some unearthly hour and someone was actually online and chatting to me. And that made a huge difference because I was so scared about the next day because it was my longest day. Right. And it was really nice to speak to someone at home. Mm-hmm. My mother accidentally FaceTimed me at 4:20 one morning. Fortunately, it was the one morning that I wasn't sharing with someone. But, you know, so that was really nice as well. But it was you know, all the support from the, you know, the ladies from Women in Business, the Rotary Club, St Mary's Fellowship, the Cycle Park, the Business Bunker, so many people. So I just want to say huge, huge thank you. We're putting together a slideshow. We've been asked to do a ladies' lunch, speak at some fellowships and things like that. So if anyone wants to know about that and see some pictures, we've got some gory pictures of deep fried tarantulas. We can tell you the story about the cockroaches in the room, and the shower that didn't work, and the, well, you don't want to know about the toilet story really, but you know, lots of things. But also grateful to find out about the charities. I want to mention the charities who are Breast Cancer Care, Joe Cervical Cancer Trust and Ovarian Cancer Action. It was a pleasure to get to know them. Some of the girls actually came on the ride, and I cycled with them. And I think statistics prove that we will actually need them one day. So it was a pleasure to get to know them, and I feel very comfortable in being able to contact them when we need them.
And how Fantastic. Much did you raise?
We raised, between Sally, Liz and I, we raised £12,500. Wow. As Fantastic. A group, for group two, we raised 30.
Absolutely fantastic.
We raised, how much did we raise? £133,000, wow. I think.
That's the whole amazing. 100 girls that were...
Yeah.
Girls. Ladies.
No, absolutely. 300. Sorry, I've got that wrong. £355,000.
Wow. For the whole
for that group
whole trip.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Wow. Just shows how important they
and
are.
And it's still coming in as well.
Yeah. And a lot of people do them for sort of, you know, personal whatever. But yes, actually, when you look at the sort of money that they're able to raise. Yeah.
And can people still donate?
People can still donate, yeah.
Are you able to tell us how they can do that?
They can go to my Just Giving page, which is www.justgiving.com/Lisa-Marie-Settle1.
Fantastic. So please still donate.
Thank you very much.
That's an epic thing you've done. And
thank
we are,
you.
Despite gently taking the mickey out of your back bottom, we are in awe of what you've done again,
Absolutely.
Lisa.
Thank
and this
you.
Isn't the first time either, I have to say.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me on.
And we also wait with bated breath to find out what you're going to do next. But I suspect David is waiting for the same thing as well to find out what you're going
to
do.
There
next.
Is something in the back of my mind.
Oh, I'm sure there is. But many congratulations.
Thanks very much, and thanks for your support, Paul.
No, as always. And we really, really do think that you're an epic star for doing that.
Thank you.
Well done.
Thank you.
Lisa Settle of Telcare. We never mentioned the company, did we, really?
No, yeah. Hopefully they're listening. They're all getting ready for the Christmas party on Saturday.
Yeah,
we did mention you while you were there. Yeah. I was on that show that week you were there, and we were
Excellent.
Giving you mentions.
Good, good. Thank you very much, Joe.
Cool. Thank you for that. We got a time for a quick tweet, if you want to read it out, Joe, and then we're going to speak to our next guest.
Okay. He's just sprung that on me, and I wasn't ready.
Okay, well... a big shout out for Wiser Wealthier on the Twitter. That's Wiser Wealthier on the Twitter. Big shout out for Carl there. And
Hesketh Jones Editing. Victoria's on there talking to us. She was on the other week, wasn't she?
Yeah.
Hello from her.
I have to say, Caring Kent have sent me, they've won. They've won the internet. They've sent me the best tweet of all time. They've sent me a massive banner that says, I love the Business Bunker. Kim of Caring Kent, based there in Ashford. Thank you so much. You have won the entire internet. Nobody can ever top that. There was a discussion on Twitter last night about who could send the most lovely, kissy, encrusted tweet.
Ah.
And Kim won.
Well, there you go.
Have you seen it? Have you seen the tweet?
No,
you can't
it's
miss
not.
It. It's
Has
a
it tagged
it's
the
a big
bunker?
It's a big yeah, it's a big big pink love sign. Is what it is.
Lovely.
Yeah. Nice.
She loves you.
And Holcombe Health Clinic have said, can we have a tweet, a shout out, please? Vanilla Web Business Bunker. Their physiotherapy, reflexology, sports therapy, and nutrition clinic based over there in Medway. That's Holcombe Health on the Twitter.
And she was responsible for making Liz fit and well before the ride.
She sorted you out, did she?
Liz, one of the girls.
Right, okay.
Yeah, my friend Liz.
Cool. There you go. It all comes together
on
the show, doesn't
it? It's all connected.
Cool. It's an absolute pleasure now to welcome our next guest onto the show.
Good afternoon.
Hello, Phil. This is Phil Houston. Phil runs a company called Paws, Claws and More.
Yes, I do.
And we're really interested to talk to Phil for a whole number of reasons, because this is quite a new venture, is it not, for you anyway?
It's brand new yeah. for me. Yeah. Well, in the last couple of months.
Right, okay. So tell us a little bit about Phil to start with, because you had, like most of us, a corporate career for a few years.
Yeah, so I've been in the corporate world for 25, 27 years.
Yep.
In the IT world, telecommunications companies. Mm. The last couple of years, my wife and I have been in discussion about going on to the next thing, what to do next.
Right.
And we'd had, I mean, it's very British to be modest, isn't it? But I'll try and be modest.
I'll try and be modest, Phil. Yeah, it's not like you,
I knew you was going to be like this. So, you know, we've had a degree of success in our careers up to that point. Mm. We got to a certain stage in our life, allowed us to take some risks in terms of what we do next.
Sure.
And we looked around and we had discussions about our shared interests and what we really wanted to do. Mm. Because when he was 5 years old, I didn't want to be an international service manager. You know, I wanted to be a pilot or whatever. Yeah. So we love animals.
Right.
We have 6 animals at home of our own. And we were customers, as we still are now, then, of Paws, Claws and More.
Right.
And there's a couple of companies in the local area. I live down on Lid on the bottom of the Romney Marsh. Mm. And we put some feelers out, and it didn't come to fruition at that time. And here we are in the summer of this year. The then owner and the founder of Paws, Claws and More, a guy called Wayne Buckland, a very clever guy, mm. phoned me up out of the blue and said, Phil, are you still interested? So it all started from there.
Okay. So if you don't mind sure. me asking, did you acquire his company or how did it work?
I acquired it, Paul.
You acquired his company. Yeah. You found it down the back of the sofa.
No. I mean, we did it properly.
Yeah.
One of the things how I conduct myself, or we want to conduct ourselves, and this is really... For us as people and us as a company, we want to do things properly.
Yep.
It's all too easy to overlook things, to think, oh, that'll be all right, mm-hmm. or it'd be cheaper to do it like that, but I wanted to do it properly. So we engaged with solicitors and we had a sale and purchase agreement made up.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
And I would expect nothing more of you, Phil. Knowing you as I do, I know that you are quite meticulous about things like that.
Nothing less, I think, is the phrase. I think to be a compliment. Just to be clear,
yeah, yeah.
I think he meant it in a positive way.
To be perfectly honest,
that's it now. That is a compliment. Joe, now we move on to the banter now.
He's paid me a compliment, and that has completely thrown me for the rest of this interview.
Well, yeah.
And
I
he's done
that.
It
exactly.
on purpose.
Yeah.
I've recorded it for you.
So I want you to, you know, tell us a bit more sure. about sure. the business itself, because when people ask you, you go, well, we look after pets.
Mm.
But it's a substantial business. I mean, we're not talking just you taking a dog for a walk now and again.
No, occasionally I do that. But yeah. if I give you sort of an overview of the business as a whole,
yeah.
there's 7 of us in total.
Wow.
We are based in and around Romney Marsh.
Yeah.
We cover from, I've got to do this the other way around for you, we cover from Rye mm. to Ashford to Folkestone. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
So quite a big area.
Yeah.
We offer what we call as pet care services. Mm. We offer dog walking, pet sitting, pet feeding, pet visiting, which is where we go into people's houses
right.
and look after their animals whilst they're out or for whatever reason they're away on holiday. And we also look after cats, chickens, pigs, you name it, we do everything.
Right.
Lots of people today have pets. The British people are very good at pets.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of people, and I'm certainly a paid-up member of this one, look upon their pets as their children.
Mm-hmm.
To that level. So the level of care there, they are truly part of the family.
My kids are real animals too.
You can say that, I can't. And, you know, the modern world's changing. People work from home a lot. The internet's sure. driving this. I mean, you know more about this than me. People make different decisions these days about whether they have animals, what type of animals they have, because the way they live their life is different.
Sure.
Now, when they're not at home, then they need somebody like us to come in and look after their animals. I mean, you know, the care that we try and provide is at the top of the tree.
Okay.
We must look after these animals like they're our own. If we don't do that, we're never going to get anywhere.
Absolutely.
That's first and foremost. It's taken as read, but not for granted.
Okay.
everything else that's behind that is more business-y, but that's what we're all about as a core function.
Okay. Now, you've made reference to it a few times.
Yeah.
You tend to look after pets in their own homes these days?
Yes.
Do you actually provide kennel and cattery-type services, or is it all home-based?
No. I think there is a place in the market for those services, but it's not something we particularly want to focus on.
Yeah.
We prefer to look after people's animals or their pets in their home rather than provide those services. I have no strong opinion about them, but it's not something I want to go into for the business.
No. It's interesting. The reason I'm not a pet owner, but the reason I ask it, years ago, I was a pet owner, and in those days there wasn't services like yours.
Yeah.
If you wanted to go on holiday, you put the dog in the kennels.
Yeah.
And you normally suffered for it when you got back. You know, they bite you and all kinds of things just to go, I'm having you for that. Yeah. So it wasn't always the best kind of thing to do.
No.
So that's why I'm fascinated by it, how that marketplace has moved on. And you're right, especially Brits, we're, you know, big softy soppies with things like pets.
Absolutely.
You know? If it was me, I'd just put a stake in the ground outside and nail him up there for a couple of weeks.
I was going to say, that's why he doesn't have pets, would be pleased to hear.
I'd make the rope long enough so he could get at the rabbits.
That's what you said, it's just
children as well. It's a free world, Paul. It's a free world.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So you're providing a service where... Yeah. The animals are going to appreciate that as much as the owners, presumably.
I mean, you may not have thought about this before, and if you're not a current pet owner, maybe I can help educate you a little bit here.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can
talk
to me. I'm a pet owner.
Okay,
we've got three pets.
Okay.
One of them has caused this sitting room painting a new floor, our house rabbit. So we are pet owners. You address me.
We're not even going to ask her how a rabbit has caused her to redecorate her house.
We don't
got
do
animal-related
decorating, by the way. Might look into that as a new sector. Yeah. We treat, you know, there's two important people that we deal with. It's the pet and the owner, and they come as one. So we try and, from the minute we engage with them, we try and come across as trustworthy and reliable, friendly, approachable, all those good things. But we want you, that's you, Joe, by the way. We want you to look at and think, right, I trust those people. I know they're going to look after, for example, my dog well. I know that because how my dog behaves with them.
Mm-hmm.
The bond I can see between my animal and my dog walk or whoever comes to my house,
mm-hmm.
that's going to make you happy, and then that's going to hopefully secure you as a long-term customer
mm-hmm.
of us. So we work really, really hard at that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that we if we don't get right, we won't be successful.
And do you have the same people going to the same animals?
We try and do that. So the way we operate is we have a primary carer. So that person will be more often than not the person that goes to the house or walks the dog or visits that horse to muck out the stable or what have you. And then we have a secondary person for when that person's not available.
Mm.
Because sometimes they want to go away on holiday or they might already be booked up. So we operate like that. But because we're of a size that we are, we can offer flexibility.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've got my work phone with me today. I haven't switched it off before. I switched it to silent, so it's okay. 24 hours a day we're open. Don't mm-hmm. close over Christmas because people want these things when they want them.
Yeah, yeah.
And if we make ourselves available to them all the time, then we're going to get as much business as we can. And, you know, it's not a dirty word, Paul.
Yeah.
We're here to make a bit of money.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to pay for my family's living, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
What I find interesting is that you offer that whole range of services, i.e. lots of different animals, because a lot of people specialise in dogs or cats or whatever, and I guess that's helpful too, because in my case, you know, two cats and a rabbit, I'd have to have two different companies if...
Are you sure? Well, we're very lucky.
Can you just feed the rabbits to the cats?
Well, just ignore him.
You're not being fair, are you?
You're
trying to get me to say something bad. That's what you're used to.
One of our cats is petrified of the rabbit, and the other one is not interested at all. He just lets it run around. It looks at it going, oh, my God, look at that young thing.
When I owned cats, they had their own collection of little bunnies that they used to bring in and hide behind the sofa.
Yeah, but animals are intelligent, and they realise that our rabbit is a pet, so they're not interested in the same way that they would be with a wild rabbit running around the garden.
Are you sure?
Absolutely.
Are you sure?
Absolutely.
While you're out, how do you know while you're out that the cats haven't got it pinned in the corner going, we're going to have you?
Because we don't leave them in the same room. However...
Exactly.
However, when we are there and they're in the same room, well, one of them won't even go in the room, as I said, he's too scared. But then that's that cat.
Anyway, coming back
anyway,
to Phil.
Anyway, carry on.
Yes, Paul.
Yeah,
anyway,
right.
Joe.
Yes.
Little child across the desk over there.
animal lovers.
Well, yes.
Yeah,
back to the animal lovers.
Yes, exactly.
But thanks for inviting me on, Paul. Don't be
That's all right.
We're lucky, Joe. We have people who are trained in horse care. We have an ex-yardsman that works for us. Used to be a buyer for Pets at Home. We have two other ladies that are qualified, or one other lady who's qualified in horse care as well. We employ young people as well, the local students. We've got one lady who's just starting with us this week, daughter of Mike Thompson, by the way. She's a graduate from Hadlow College in animal care. Right. Another one of our teams in on the very same course at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got a lot of well-trained people.
Yeah.
So we can cover the full range. One of my colleagues has a chameleon. I can't remember the name of the lizard now. A very common lizard. He'd kill me when I get home after this.
The lizard
with
or the...
bearded dragon.
Yeah, bearded dragon. Yeah. Yep.
He has a grey African grey parrot. He has snakes. One of the snakes we look after is a 7-foot Floridian rat snake called Jungle.
Right.
So we cover quite a lot, but we've got the training to do it.
Mm-hmm.
We're not veterinarians, but we have the experience to know what it is to look after these animals. Mm-hmm.
And you do have people that are qualified in animal management.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like I've just had a tweet that you'll be interested in, because it ticks a number of boxes. It's from Chris Hyde, and he runs a company called Chameleogenics, actually.
Okay.
And he's just said, great mantra from Phil, Paws and Claws, Kent. He said, we must look after pets as if they're our own. That is fantastic stuff. So,
glad. Thank you, Chris.
Yeah. And Chris, that's doubling up as your shout out, because he asked me for a shout out as well. So you're looking after a range of animals.
Yeah.
You're doing lots of pet sitting, pet walking, taking your bearded dragon for a walk and that
kind of stuff. Actually know if you can do that. I'd have to consult with my colleagues, Mr. Andrews.
Yeah, you've got your bounty.
Yeah, you can get them out of case.
Taking a snake for a drag. That would be fun.
I've never done that, nor do I plan to do so in the near future.
Yeah.
Can I ask a sensible question?
Of course. Yeah,
oh,
somebody
please. I missed all this banter.
Yeah.
What sort of people? I mean, you said about the animals. What sort of people? You know, what are they doing? Are they going out to work? Is it just holiday time? You know.
Okay. We're very lucky because our demographic is wide.
Okay.
From young people, so some 18s upwards, all the way through to the senior citizens.
Mm-hmm.
And we go into people's houses, whether we stay there or whether we visit to pick up their animal, and it's all walks of life.
Now so you would sleep over if need be?
Yeah, we stay in people's houses. We currently hold about 50 keys for houses at the moment.
Wow.
So, you know, the trust is there.
See, a lot of people, if they're shrewd about this, are kind of doubling up, because you're getting house sitters and pet sitters all in one go, aren't you?
Correct. Yeah. So one of our most popular services we call an overnight service is when you buy that in units for 24 hours.
Right.
And we stay there all night. Somebody sleeps in the house.
Right.
We sit down with the owner before the start of the booking. We go through everything, two things, how to run the pets, how to run the house.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So they know that it's secure. And while they're away, we're really hot on this, Paul. The communication with the customer has to be really, really good.
So we
engage with social media really strongly.
Right.
All of our social media channels. I know I'm singing your song now.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
We text the customer with pictures, with regular updates, so you know that your animal is being looked after. Because when you go away, I've done it. Wonder how so and so is. How are they getting on? I haven't heard from them since yesterday evening. Mm-hmm. I've been going to be right. Shall I phone them up? No, we do that for you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But in terms of the age groups, it's everybody.
My friend said that her daughter looked after a dog recently for her boss, and he had a little something on the collar that she had to put on when they went for a walk.
GPS collar.
So that they knew how far the dog was being walked, etc. But she forgot to turn it off. And, of course, the dog was running around at home as well. So I think they probably came back and thought, oh, my God, you've worn the dog out. It's done 28 miles in a day or something.
Well, yeah, I mean, we haven't quite got to that yet. We've got some exciting plans for how we can embrace technology and do more for our customers in the coming year. I mean, I've only been here 5 minutes, Paul. Give me a chance.
Yeah, sure, absolutely.
We're about to roll out an application to all of our team's phones, where they can be GPS tracked at any time by the customer whose dog they're walking at the time.
Absolutely.
So again, brilliant, that's another element of trust.
Fantastic.
Yeah, we're not going to tell you we've done a good job. You can find out yourself when you
absolutely.
Want.
Yeah, absolutely.
There was something that you said that I thought was just fantastic. I don't know whether you said it on purpose or whether it was just sort of coming out in conversation when you said there's two people that are important, you and your pet.
Yeah.
You had me then.
Good.
That's it.
Would you like a card?
Yes.
Do you have any pets, just to be clear?
Well, I'm a grandmother of a Staffy. I don't actually have a pet myself, but my son's got a Staffy, yeah. And so I sometimes do doggy daycare when I'm at home.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I mean, she is my granddaughter as far as I'm concerned. I'm the only one in the park that says, come to Granny, come to Granny.
Love, you know, Staffies. Staffies have a bad rep, but absolutely no way. They're beautiful dogs.
But, you know, and she, when my son goes on holiday, she goes to a kennel.
Yeah.
And they're fantastic, and they accept that he's going to phone up and you know, find out how she's doing. And they have actually at one point even sent a WhatsApp picture to him while he was away on holiday. Mm. But the dog's stressed. Mm. And so to have somebody in your own home where you know that she's got her own bed and all her own sort of bits and bobs.
This is where I think where we have a unique selling point to competitors in the marketplace. And there are some. Competition is good, I think, but Wayne, our founder, built this up. So he's got over this really difficult tipping point where you get to a certain size as an individual, but to grow, you need more people. And if you want to grow, then you've got to take a pay cut to do it. But our reputation, and we protect it voraciously, our reputation is really strong. So we don't have to spend too long convincing customers that we can be trusted to take your key, to look after everything that's important to you. You know, your pets, your house. We've got access to your key, cars. Da da da. Not we don't. We don't drive the cars. Just but I can just say, well, go and talk to our customers. Yeah. Here's a list of customers. Go and talk to them. They're in your local area. Lots of our customers know our customers because we benefit from referrals. You know, we're always very happy to receive that. But the reputation, I don't want to say it precedes us because that's too arrogant. I don't want to come across as that. We have a strong reputation which enables us to grow our business.
Mm. And that's earned.
Yeah, absolutely.
It doesn't come for free.
And you've certainly hit the spot, Phil, because my Twitter's going mad.
Yeah.
People are just stupid about pets, aren't they? And they're all going, oh, this is a fabulous interview. Our pets.
Again, he means pets. That as a compliment, listener. When he says stupid, he doesn't mean it. He means positive stupid as opposed to a...
I know what you mean, Paul.
Do I?
Okay. Well, we think we do.
Well, I'm thinking I'm going to have to get my friend's husband to up his ante when he's looking after our pets. I want pictures and everything now.
Yeah. Skype.
No,
Skype
calls. No, we do Facebook Live with the pets. Facebook Live with the pets.
Brilliant.
I always Skype her.
Goodness sake. So...
I'm just glad you don't have pets anymore, Paul, to be honest, having listened to you this afternoon.
My pets are wild. In my garden, I have a fox, a badger, wall-to-wall squirrels and bunny rabbits. Yeah.
Wall-to-wall squirrels. This is the Weald of Tenterton, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. And the fox and the badger are funny because they quite often cross the garden at the same time at night and they just look at each other and then go, morning or evening, and cross over. And eat something.
You are all heart, mate.
Actually, that reminds me of that film that was out recently, that one about someone. Is it called something like The Secret Life of Pets?
Yeah.
You should watch that.
I've seen it. Don't worry, I've seen it. You'd have to work hard to find a pet program I haven't watched, but yeah.
I love what you do.
Victoria said, I'm loving Phil. Does he look after kids too?
No, we haven't gone that far yet. I think that might need a little bit of licensing, a bit of training and stuff like that. I have no plans to move into the human market. Let me say that now.
Phil, I know that you've just about released your new website. Is it ready yet?
No, it's ready. We launched it last week.
Yeah.
Pawsclawsandmorekent.co.uk.
Pawsclawsandmorekent.co.uk. There is a link on the Kent Business Radio website to that.
Thank you for that.
That will stay there forever, so you can find that link. Phil, thank you so much for that.
Pleasure, thank you.
We wish you much success. Cheers. You've cracked the market already. People are going nuts for this already.
I'm glad to hear it. Thank you for giving me the opportunity this afternoon.
No, it's an absolute pleasure. I've no idea what they're all talking about. And they're all going, this and that. And I don't know what Staffy is.
You're doing yourself no favours, Mr. Andrews. You really
aren't. I'm just not a pet person. I'm a wild animal person.
It's a very popular dog.
I'm just a wild animal person. That's what it is. Free range. I'm free range. That's it. That's what I was looking for. I'm free range and organic.
Back to nature.
Phil, thank you so much for that.
Pleasure. Thank you.
Paws, Claws and More. Kent.co.uk is the website. Do check them out. I think you've already got a few dozen customers lined up now.
I hope so. I'll be grabbing your phone before I leave. Yeah.
So thank you for that, Phil. We're coming up to the halfway point of the show. In fact, we've kind of gone over the normal halfway point. I've got a couple of tweets. I found the big love thingy. Can you see that, Bert?
Oh, yes.
It's a bit impressive, that, isn't it? That tweet, yeah. And we've had a tweet from the Granby Hotel, and they say, hey, Vanilla Web, please can the Granby Hotel have a shout-out on the Business Bunker Show? We're a family-run, friendly, Kent-based hotel. You can follow them on the Twitter, the Granby, Gramby, underscore hotel. The Gramby Hotel.
You said Cranberry then, didn't you?
It's not Cranberry, it's Gramby.
No, but you nearly said that.
So, yeah. So do give them a follow on their Twitter. We've got millions of tweets still. We've got loads of emails still to read. But we're I'm going to read one more. Julie Davis, who is JDFLWR Workshops. I think that's Flower Workshops, shortened. JDFLWR Workshops on the Twitter. Vanilla Web, make your Christmas door wreath. I'm running a winter giveaway on my Facebook page. Post your door wreath picture. So if you've got a door wreath, you can post the picture on Julie's Facebook page. I think there may be a competition in there somewhere.
I made a door wreath.
Did
the
you?
Other day, yeah, Christmas. I went to a workshop.
Post a picture.
I took seven of my girls with me.
Oh, was that all... with this lady, do you think?
No, it was a floral explosion, but it's a similar thing. And I would urge you to go because it's really good fun.
Cool. Right, we're going to have a break and we'll be back shortly.
I don't want